FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Seeing Through the Chaos.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, Patriots. And tonight is Wednesday, May 1st in the year 2024. 1st of May, and we've got obviously a crazier world than we did before. It just seems never to stop, and this is just part of the time in which we live as things begin to unwind and unravel at a faster and faster pace. Before we get going tonight, I think one thing that's very, very clear, we have to come to the grips that most emergencies come without warning, and when the next one comes, you won't have a second spare to pack and to prepare. So what you're going to need is to be prepared for emergency strikes before they happen, and they're likely to happen soon. Your supplies should be within reach, ready to grab and go at a moment's notice. Secure those supplies at our website, preparewithbards.com. You can start with a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They've been helping millions of American families prepare since 2008. My Patriot Supply are experts in all things self-reliance. Their four-week emergency food kits offered over 2,000 calories each day. They're protected by heavy-duty four-layer packaging, and these kits last up to 25 years in storage. These delicious foods are sealed inside rugged buckets with handles designed to grab and go in a hurry. So go to preparewithbards.com and get as many of these food kits as your family needs and save $50 off each one. They will ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. You can save $50 per kit at preparewithbards.com. That's preparewithbards.com. Well, Patriots, where I want to begin tonight is a place that we kind of left off early in this morning's show. And what that is a story or a reference to Bishop Mari Emanuel. And one of the theories of why he was attacked. Now, you know, he's back on the scene. And he's literally speaking a very powerful message of love and forgiveness. It does look like his right eye has been damaged from the attack, though he was very lucky because the knife, which was being used against him, which was a stiletto apparently, did not open, and the attacker simply used the knife as a bludgeon instrument to beat him. He was pretty heavily bruised on his, apparently in his eye area, and so he's wearing a patch, and I don't know, we don't have any idea what the prognosis is, but nonetheless, there's been a lot of theories as to why he was attacked. One of those is that he was a supporter of President Trump. The other was that he was a man who was outspoken on the atrocities in Gaza, and so he was, as he was calling for both Israel and Palestinians to come to Jesus, that he was targeted for that. However, one of our viewers brought some interesting information to light, which I'm very much in favor of this theory, that he was attacked because of the fact that he was telling the truth about Islam. Now, apparently he grew up in Syria, and one of his messages is pretty clear, that the Quran gives the truth that Jesus is king. I want you to hear this piece. It's 3 minutes and 22 seconds.
And the Quran, it says about the Lord Jesus, according to their book, أما عيسى بن مريم فهو كلمة الله وروح منه. I speak Arabic, I write Arabic, I read Arabic. I'm educated in the Arabic language. أما عيسى بن مريم فهو كلمة الله وروح منه. What is Muhammad is saying in the Quran? He's saying, but Jesus or Isa, Jesus, but Jesus, son of Mary, is the word of God and a spirit of God. Now, I ask Muhammad, where did you get this from? But Jesus, son of Mary, is the word of God and a spirit of him. Oh, John, the fourth living creature, which is the flying eagle, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 verse 1, the very beginning of the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Look at what Muhammad is saying. Jesus, son of Mary, is the Word of God. Okay? Don't lose track of this. He is the Word of God. John, 6 centuries prior to him, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So what are you trying to say, Muhammad? Are you saying Jesus is God? That's what you're saying. You got it from the Gospel of John. Not from Allah. From the Gospel of John. He's God. We know all the history. But it's not my topic now. Maybe one day. We know all the history. The moment you deny the divinity of Christ, He is not the Son of God, He is not God, and He was never crucified, you have denied your own salvation. When you deny your salvation, you've denied life. When you deny life, what are you going to end up with? Death. That's why the one who's sitting on it is death. You're going to get nothing but death. Islam flourished and expanded with the sword. That's why on the flag of Saudi Arabia is green with 2 swords crossing. That's how it went with the sword. Jesus said, my sword is my word and my word is love. You flourish through love, not by chopping heads. You flourish with love. I don't want to offend no Muslim. That's not my intention. But this is what their book literally says. So don't tell me we believe in your Jesus. You don't. My Jesus is God revealed in the flesh. He was crucified to save the whole world. This is my Jesus. There is, in here, it's non-negotiable area. We can't sit and say, let's come up with a solution. Now, this is the solution and the only solution. You better believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God Himself. He was crucified. He was buried, rose from the dead on the third day, and He will come to judge the living and the dead. For He is God revealed in the flesh. Period.
So it's interesting on this. Someone in the chat just wrote, and I'm just going to take what's said here in chat because I don't have any other information on this, that apparently he lost his eye and that he said that he would give his eye to his Muslim brother. I don't have any other confirmation on that, but apparently he has. I know he's wearing a patch. But the word is powerful. And again, these sorts of times that we're in, the truths are coming out, and as they come out, they're shaking the world. This is a word that shakes the world. It shakes Islam. But it makes sense. You've heard me play here before that the testimonies from ISIS fighters who have had the witness of Jesus in their life, and they've literally been left weeping with the words and responses to this, that he came to me and said the words, you're forgiven. And in Islam, they're not forgiven until after they die. And here he's saying, but I didn't even know what that meant because I'm forgiven in life. It is a very powerful, powerful message that we need to be focused on. And it's a powerful one because there is a mightiness in that sword of love. And unfortunately, as I have talked about so much, is that we've diluted and polluted the concept of love so much that we're really forgetting the mightiness of this. Peter and Jesus stood together in the garden. And I've talked a lot about this, but I want to go further. Peter was, the more that we study, Peter is part of a group of pretty elite fighters. And it's pretty evident that when he draws his sword and he does what he does, which is to cut an ear, that he does it with precision, which can't happen unless you're a precise fighter. You also have to ask the question of what did all the other swordsmen that came in there, why did they stay back? Because in my opinion, and I think it can be well validated, what they saw from Peter, they knew that he could stay off most of them. And so that ear was cut, and yet Jesus was truly what we would say would be like a grandmaster. in martial arts. He picked up the ear and he healed it and brought him to salvation. There is a powerful presence in all of this. Peter was not rebuked for using his sword. And there is no, we're told, he was told to sell his cloak and buy a sword, but we can't have victory through the sword. The sword of the Spirit is different. And it's really right now, as we face so many of these challenges, it's the pivot that we're going to have to make to understand the mightiness of what it is that we carry in us. Right now, this world is in a meltdown. It is in a chaos, unprecedented levels of chaos. And we're seeing things of design to pit people in faith against one another. In the university campuses that are happening as they burn things down, barricade themselves in, etc. And we look at these problems, we have to understand that also what we're seeing here is a by design attempt to bring about a religious war. We have pulpits that are siding with Israel. We have students that are siding with Palestine. And they're drawing battle lines. And they're speaking out on campuses and they're calling each other fascist and they're declaring somebody else anti-Semite. And not one person is speaking these words except Jesus. Bow before the king, because both sides are lacking that simple understanding. The unity in that message is Jesus. It is not about the politics, which again, as I have said, God is not politics. He may use politics, but God isn't found in politics. And yet politics is the weapon of war. The ideological boundaries that are being put here right now are important to understand that they've been rifted in and drilled in and cut in over generations so that we'll worship things that are idols, not of God. And unfortunately, the manipulation of Israel right now is to turn it into a tool of war, a war that now hides behind its shield of a political state purchased by Rothschild's money to create and manufacture a Jewish state for the intent of creating rift and division, not only within the Middle East, but across the world. And so we have pulpits that all outrightly are calling for the genocide of Palestinians. Those are genocidal pulpits. But what they're not calling for is for them to come to Jesus. It's a very simple statement. It's a very simple position. And yet we don't, because there's still this belief, there's this concept that there is somehow a two-tier justice in existence in heaven. And that's not how it is. We were grafted in Jesus' sacrifice, blended it all to where we all became those who would accept Christ into the Father. We would be brought into heaven. We were now the, quote, chosen ones. But it's not specific to the Israelites. It's all sorts of evidence to show, we've talked about this, but when this message we get from Bishop Emmanuel, and what he's speaking to then is at another level of rift, which is even the truth of what's in religion is being hidden. And we know that's even within our own. If someone asks me, like, what type of ministry do you do? And I say simply, we follow what Jesus said we could do and should do. There's no brand name for it. Just do what Jesus did and walk that way. And as we seek to walk that way, we get a more profound encounter in our world. And it is strong, and it is something. Because at the end of the day, all we're left with is to submit to him and let him guide us to where he wants us to be. And I'll honestly say this, be careful. If you're not ready, God will move you there anyway. But I'm saying, if you start asking for this, be ready to be shaken. We had a great discussion here today. I mean, I'm with Brian and Alicia Derrica, which I'm going to try to get on the show tomorrow night or this weekend. We'll see. And what the discussion has been here is that, you know, it's considered this like a theater, just for the sake of this discussion. And there's people that are going to be very comfortable sitting in the back row. And there's going to be people that are very comfortable sitting in the middle row. But if you're going to try to let God bring you to the fullness of what you can be, there is only one way you can do this. Only one way. And that is to completely submit to him and let him bring you to that place that all the dross is burned out and the silver is refined. And when we get to that place And it is a rough journey at times because we have to confront our past. We have to let go of things we don't want to let go of. We have to vocalize stuff we wanted to long forget. But that's the journey in the end. And right now, with all this chaos and all this craziness, it's easy to get lost in there and forget truly what it is and what our purpose is and what we're supposed to be doing here. Take a listen to this piece here.
Seems like since the pandemic, we've been going 0 to 100, and we didn't have the time to really process what happened to us. It's like one crisis after the other. And to this day, we haven't really adjusted to what the hell was done to our society. Our work life got turned upside down. We lost friends and family, sometimes because they passed, sometimes because of a difference in opinion. Now, the inflation made us so busy just trying to survive, it's almost like they don't want us to have this moment of clarity, this moment of unity. All I see from the ruling class in the news are lies of what they pushed on us. They're living in denial, and it keeps piling up. And I think we shouldn't wait for some politician to tell us that now it's okay to have this moment. We should just have this moment when we want. Between us, the people, take a step back, heal the trauma, show love to your neighbor, and that's how I think we can move forward in a more connected way.
We have not taken a moment in all of this to pause. And he's absolutely right. We went from pandemic to toilet paper hoarding to masks to vaccines. And now we're somehow moving right past that to attempts at global world war. This is all by design. And it's by design because ultimately we're making a choice to be part of what they're doing, which is really the atrocity. We don't have to play their game, but we're choosing to play their game, and in so doing, we're getting spun up farther and farther and farther. And the games are just continuing. We have all sorts of things coming up in the news. We have all this craziness. And again, as I've said so many times, if we're really going to dig into the core of what's going on, we're going to have to not only push deeper into Christ, we're going to have to look deeper at what the real depth of power and corruption is. And we're going to have to buckle up. Because if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, you're not going to be able to face what's coming. What's coming is darker than most of us want to face. It's the children. And I've said it so many times, and it's so much here. It is the children. I want you to hear this piece. This is a bit disturbing. Time is about 3 minutes, just in case you don't want to listen with family. But this is going to talk about kids. And it's going to talk about a pedophile snuff ring that they broke up from Russia.
We need to talk about the infamous Russian pedophile and snuff film ring. So just so I'm factually correct, here's the article I'm talking about here. So in the year 2000, a massive scandal rocked Russia. In that year, Russian authorities uncovered a pedophile ring that ran all the way from Russia to the United States. There were over 5,000 members that were busted in different countries. But the exact details of these crimes are really hard to stomach, so viewer discretion is advised. Obviously, the police and authorities had to watch some of this content that was uncovered, and what they saw was absolutely disturbing. They saw hundreds of different children being abused by groups of men. And on top of that, after the abuse was over, these children were then brutally tortured and killed on camera. Now, something extremely disturbing is that these videos made over $470 million worth of revenue. Just stop and think about that for 1 second. Just stop and think about how much money that is that people were paying to watch these videos. There were people in the US purchasing these tapes. There were people in the Middle East, people in Russia, people in Italy. And in fact, when they were covering this news story, two European TV stations accidentally broadcast images and video from the tapes. Graphic, uncensored material. Obviously, the whole team that was involved in that was fired. But the police officers and authorities who actually worked on this case have gone on the record and said every single night since then, they still hear children screaming in their dreams. So these rings operated throughout many different countries, including Italy, Russia, all throughout the Middle East. And what the authorities think they were doing was snatching children out of orphanages, and even at times targeting kids when they walked away from their parents at the circus. Now, thankfully, hundreds of people were arrested after this was uncovered and justice was dealt. And thankfully, Russia's prison system is pretty brutal, so I'm sure that the men who were put in there for these crimes got the justice that they deserved. But this is absolutely frightening because this stuff is still happening today in 2024. It's not just happening in Europe, it's happening in America. There is so much more we could get into here. But yeah, we need to continue to talk about this stuff to raise awareness that this is happening.
There's a desire to try to avoid a lot of these truths. And we can't. And as difficult as it is, we have to continue to face it because we have to continue to share it and get people to awaken to it. We need pulpits talking about this. We need churches bringing this to the congregations. It's not whether it's proper for a Sunday morning. It's like it's the only theme that should be on Sunday morning is where are the kids and how are we taking care of them better? The world has to wake up because the target, if we can't see, the level of evil that when you can get to that place is beyond what is human. I'm not giving any alien theory here. I'm talking about the consciousness of that of God within us, the relationship that we have within Jesus. Is it redeemable? I've said here, and I don't really have a problem saying it, I don't think so. But what I do know is those kids are. And I do know that every child that is out there in some place in the world that is being held and tortured is pleading and begging for someone to save them. Next, this coming June, which is about 6 weeks away from me, and I will give a lot more to say about this, especially when we get to Bard's Fest. I'll be going to Spokane for a week. I'll be attending Basil Baz's training course on dealing with developing anti-child sex trafficking networks in our communities. It's 1 week long. He's been on the show. And I would encourage anybody that would go to his course, and I will encourage it more. We have to get ourselves armed. We have to be informed. And we have to literally be in a place where we have to start activating and moving to a place where we take action locally. We have to stop waiting for someone to save us or save the kids. And we have to start being the threat to this evil that they cannot possibly imagine. It breaks my heart every single day because this is innocence. And it's destroying innocence. So it's a war on innocence. And it's the whole attempt not only to destroy innocence, but it's changing the very fabric of the way this world works. When we pray into this world and we're praying for things, we're praying into a beauty, a joy, a love that our children can do at a level and a magnitude far greater than adults. And so it should come as no surprise that the war on children is literally part of creating that darkness, that hell on earth that they want, that we live into. It's not just the grooming. It's not just the perpetuation of their sickness. It's literally transforming the entire fabric of the spiritual fabric of the way this world works. And for every scream out there, is a way of putting a spike into the fabric of love in this world. We cannot let that continue. So when we start talking about the heart of Christ as a warrior heart, and Christ has told us you would better be better to have a millstone put around your neck than to do harm to the little ones, we all have to start being more conscious and cognizant of what we do. That includes our daily interaction with kids. That includes everything about what we do. Because if you think about it, and it's an easier way to reframe it, and we don't unfortunately think about this enough. If you have a dog and you abuse a dog, it's not going to become a well-trained dog over time. But if you have a dog and you constantly work a dog in positive reinforcement and love, that dog will become an amazing dog. Why don't we think about children the same way? I don't know. I really don't have that idea. But we don't. As a collective whole, we don't. And I would say that at one point or another, probably most of us have slipped. And yet it's the most precious gift that we can be given on this earth. And as a precious gift, we have to not only covet it, we have to protect it. And we have to do everything we can to ensure that it lives with this innocent time that it has to bring that joy into the world so that it can mature to be something great within the kingdom. Our world hasn't shifted enough yet to say that we're improving, not when we're dealing with these sorts of horrors. And these sorts of horrors are truly dark and evil. They are the type of horrors that haunt us and haunt us in generations and generations. They are trying at their very best to break, to do all this, to lead us to a permanent point of enslavement, to a place where societies willfully give in. Our birth rates are dropping radically, thanks to COVID-con. We're dealing still with psychological trauma from COVID-con, and with that comes denial, because you've got fragmentation and fracture of the psyche of people. They've had cognitive dissonance and cognitive breakdowns. They have literally been reformed and reshaped within the trauma of COVID-con and the shot. There are people that you still see that are walking around with masks on a perfect day with nobody sick, and yet they're afraid now of the world. This was all by design. We got off a little bit easy, in fact. The plan that they had was not as effective as they had hoped it would be. The human body was a bit more resilient, and the drug that they developed was not quite as deadly. But they're not done yet, trust me. You know, I went through the other day as I was driving down to Yuba City. I stopped into one of the truck stops to get gas. And as I went to get something just to snack on, I stopped. And I realized that every single thing in that store, in one way or another, I had no way of verifying any of the ingredients that was in there. No way of knowing what poisons, what type of corrupted influences they put in. And that was everything from health food bars all the way to chips. And I just found myself in a moment realizing just how much we have as a society changed, and how now we have to become increasingly more reliant on that which we grow and that which we know the source of. But that's just one part of a shift in a society. The deeper shift is the moral shift that we have to get to. And it's only through these shifts do we start to see through this cloud of chaos. The cloud of chaos is noisy, it's massively loud, and it's designed this way to keep you busy. And in the background is where they're really starting to creep and crawl to put things in place. Children are their tool for achieving power. They change the fabric of the spiritual nature of the world. They also traffic kids. It leaves parents wounded. It breaks families. It leaves a perpetual echo of fear across the world. And the children that survive become so damaged that they can't be regular adults. And there's too few people equipped with deliverance, and too few churches equipped with deliverance and inner healing. And the spiritual tools necessary that God told us we needed to be able to deal with the mass at this point are to come. These are all things that God's laying out and preparing for some shift. And it's coming, trust me. And we have to be prepared. That means it isn't just preparations in food and preparations in technology or ammo or things like this. This is to preparations in the spiritual nature, the warring armor that you need and the tools of that armor that you need to face what is coming. I will tell you, it isn't a question of if, it's only a question of when. And that when that's coming at us is a when of, are you ready to rip the scab off of this diseased arm and diseased leg, this diseased body, what we call humanity and we call government and we call country? Are you ready to look inside? Are you ready to see how dark and evil this place really is? Are you ready to see the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands of children that are trafficked, raped, tortured, abused, murdered? And truth be said, by some, eaten. That's what we call a pedivore. This is the dark reality. When you make $470 million off of videos of gang raping children and then murdering them and putting that on film, you are seeing the level of sickness. Do the math on this. Let's just say $25 a video. Do that math. $470 million divided by $25, $470 million even divided by $100. You're seeing the magnitude of people that have a taste for this, a desire for this, an interest in this. That's the problem of the world. They're a core group that they need to be removed. They have no place here. I can't in my heart, and I will be honest before God in all I say, I can't in my heart allow that group to be forgiven They need to be given justice and sent to the courts of heaven to be judged. And I can stand on that comfortably in a biblical sense to say that there must be a millstone for doing harm to the little ones. But we as a world now, we as a community, we as a remnant don't have a choice. Because there's a point when this drain is going to open and the floodgates are going to flow. And then what? What's the society going to do? I can name a few churches that can handle it, and I can name a location which we call, which is what we're trying to stand up, Flemingsburg. They can withstand or endure a flow of people, but you're talking thousands and thousands of people that are going to be looking to make sense of this, seek salvation from this, asking, God, what do I do? God, what has happened? Our churches aren't equipped for this. They're not equipped for this because some long time ago, they walked away from the principles of the 501c, the fivefold ministry. And the fivefold ministry, then, as it was pushed away, we stepped into the 501c3 church. What that means is that God's children that are out here that carry Christ in their heart and the church in the heart, it's going to fall on us. And it's where we have to have that deep root in our communities. We have to be ready to step into our communities, to open up our churches in our homes. Think about the seven pillars of county by county. God gave this to us as an organizational framework 3 years ago in the summer of 2021. And it might have even been the summer of 2020. So it was 3 or 4 years ago. And 3 or 4 years ago, we were given this framework. And this framework began with the first thing, number one, was home churches. We begin to see why now. Because there's not enough of the churches that are equipped for this type of fight. And what's coming is going to demand of us to be ready to receive. To receive in our homes. To receive in our neighborhoods. Those that are hurt, angry, confused, screaming mad about what they've discovered. When the grift gets exposed and the depth of this darkness gets shown. And it's not whether it's like one sudden moment that all of a sudden your TV screens are going to flash and you're going to have all this stuff playing. That's not going to happen that way. This is the slow drip that keeps going across our time of information, and people keep hearing it, and suddenly there's enough of it out there. They start to look and they start to dig and they go, my goodness. And it's this cascade of awakening that happens in a deep spiritual sense, because if there's one thing that will unite humanity, it's the understanding of the trauma of children and what's being done to them for the expense of running this world under the control of this mafia. The pedophile mafia, the global pedophile mafia. It's time, and it's time to get real about what our commitments are and what we have to do. We have to be prepared. And they're working hard to make sure that what's coming, to get ahead of this, and for good reason, the one tool that they have to fight back is to try to create a more complex digital slave state that will prevent us from talking to one another. Take a listen to this interview with Glenn Beck.
Talk to me about the 50 and 5 plan. So the UN has partnered with Bill Gates on this, what they call digital public infrastructure. It's a very fancy term. And I think the simplest way to understand it is they're building a giant digital gulag for all of humanity. So the UN Development Program has officially launched this. It was officially launched at the end of last year, where they're going to get 50 governments, they call them countries, but really they mean governments, to impose at least some major element of this digital public infrastructure on their population within 5 years. So 2028.
Like passports.
Digital IDs. Mm-hmm. And those are already emerging. In fact, many states are developing these. I just went through the airport yesterday. You can scan your digital ID QR code, right? So that's happening.
And that's really one of the main reasons for the COVID
Absolutely.
Nonsense.
The architecture that was laid down is the backbone of this global control grid that they're building. So then you've got the central bank digital currencies, which are already being unveiled. Right? They've already been released. The World Economic Forum just said a few days ago, 98% of the governments and central banks in the world are working on these CBDCs. Once they're fully operational, I guarantee you, they're going to start waging war on cash much more openly. They'll say it's a tool for terrorists and pimps and you know, every nasty thing, tax cheats, everything you can think of. Then you've got the payment processing systems, and you've also got we just had the head of the World Health Organization talk about this recently, the digital health certificates, the digital vaccine passports. They're taking what the EU developed during the COVID, which, by the way, the European Commission was promoting vaccine passports in May of 2019, long before anybody ever heard of a COVID or anything like that. So they're taking all of this together, and they are using it to build a control system that will not just be able to surveil and monitor everything you do on an unprecedented scale. When you combine it with AI, the ability to make sense of all this data, it's just mind-blowing. But also to manipulate what you do. And so they're talking about this, again, pretty openly. If you look at the World Economic Forum meetings, they talk about the benefits of programmable central bank digital currency, where they will be able to say who can buy what, when, under what conditions. And then the Bank for International Settlements, you know, Carol Quigley, to go back to him for a moment, Bill Clinton's mentor, the guy who really exposed this global agenda to create a one-world system, he said the apex of the system was going to be the Bank for International Settlements. This is an institution that's almost entirely unknown to Americans. And what they are working on right now, and this is not a secret, it's not a conspiracy because it's not happening behind closed doors, is what they call a universal blockchain ledger. They want to tokenize every asset in the known universe, every farm, every car, every house, every tree, put it on this ledger, this blockchain ledger, and then you're only able to interact with this blockchain ledger using your biometric digital ID, using your central bank digital currencies. And so if I want to buy something from you, I can't just hand you a $100 bill. I've got to go on my device, connect to this blockchain system, transfer the central bank digital currencies to you. And so this is a mechanism for controlling humanity that I think is really unprecedented in human history. And when you take it all together, it's very obvious.
And the one thing I will guarantee you is not going to be controlled, is not going to be tracked, is child pornography, child sex trafficking, and anything to do with the benefit of children for sexual and ritual pleasure. They won't allow that. They'll find a back door. They'll find a way to erase it. They'll find a loophole. They've already built it in because that's what these people do. They cannot survive without destroying the children. I need this really to sink in. The Epstein logs have not been released. In the Epstein logs are the names and the flights in which people flew to Epstein Island. We know it went on at Epstein Island, but Epstein Island's only one of many islands around that did the same thing. I need you to understand that at least 80% of our Congress has been compromised with something to do with sex, and likely most of them has to do with underage sex, which would translate to pedophilia. And one can say that they were blackmailed or trapped. They were doing this on Codel trips, which is when they go overseas to visit countries. But the question is, what would lead them to get to a place where they could be that easily compromised? Some of this is done right in D.C. We know that the whole issue around Pizzagate isn't a myth, it's real. We know that the horrors that we learned there were absolutely real. And when we look back at the magnitude of the attack by the institution and how heavily they hit back, we know very well that it was not just real, it was deep, deep, and deep in its accuracy of what was really going on. Comet Ping Pong wasn't a pizza parlor. Comet Ping Pong was a kill house and a pleasure palace to destroy children. And what's more disturbing is what happened to them later, because we don't know. We are dealing with a level of sickness in our society that cannot be described in words that would even be not just legal, but words that are appropriate for any form of a program. They look at every child like one looks at a favorite dessert. And they seek it, they desire it. And they've been telling us in our face for years. They put out the films, whether it's Silence of the Lambs or whether it's Hostel, whatever these horror films are that are out there, they've been telling you in truth what they do. Ask yourself where these horrific ideas came from for these horror films and these slaughter films. You might even ask another question, which is even darker. Were they actually special effects, or was it something worse? Our reality has been placed before us, and somehow we turn our eyes away from it. We classify it as rated R, and we don't look. We classify it as horror, and we say, I don't want to see it. I understand why. But the fact is, if you're looking for truth, look to fiction. And if you're looking for fiction, look to what they call truth. This is the current world in which we live. And it's a world that is so unraveling right now that they're panicked. Should become as no surprise that they're racing forward now to place anti-Semitic rulings in place to protect anything spoken about the Jews, even to the point that if you speak now according to the anti-Semitic rules and you say that Jews killed Israel, that's considered an anti-Semitic slur. These people are panicked. They're panicked because we're getting closer and closer to the epicenter of the truth. And the epicenter of the truth isn't complicated. It's just horrific. It's the children. It's always been the children. And it's the one thing when we look biblically and we ask ourselves, why would Jesus have said it would be better to have a millstone around your neck if one does harm to the little ones? To say it would be better is to imply that what God would do would be worse. The judgment then falls upon not just the perpetrators of the extreme crimes. We all have to take a deep, dark look at our own self and ask ourselves a very difficult question. How has our behavior been in our lives? And has it been tainted by a despicable world that so devalues children? Have we allowed crimes to occur against kids and said nothing? Have we damaged children with our impatience or our anger or our hatred of things? This isn't a time to sit back and mourn in our guilt. This is time literally to be confronting God and say, God, forgive me, and now stand up and fight like never before. Because in this moment, we are having to confront the darkest part of what we have become. And I say we because we don't know where these people are, but they're everywhere. They've woven themselves into society. They've woven themselves in the fabric of our culture. They've influenced things to such a degree that we allow our children to go to indoctrination camps, which we call public schools, and we look surprised when they return and say, I'm no longer a boy, I'm a girl. Or as I read today, which was unbelievably shocking, truly, even for me, a new gender of something called transcanine, to where a girl is now claiming that she's having relationships with dogs. This has become Sodom and Gomorrah in our literal existence. And what's at the core of almost every one of these? And unfortunately, I have ended up reading way too many of these posts over time to see a trend of something that's extremely disturbing. Every one of these people that starts to claim a new identity is seeking one thing in common. They're lonely. Their families are broken and they're lonely. They want to be loved. Isn't that interesting? We're quick to cast out people. We're easy to walk past the homeless, or easy not even to look past the homeless and to see the children on the streets. It always struck me in Portland when I walked to my office in the morning. There was a youth center for homeless youth. And it stunned me how many youth we had homeless on the streets in Portland that would gather each morning. They didn't have any parents. The only thing they had was collectives that they would build themselves. And as I got to know some of them, it was even more disturbing. The stories that they told, that they had already been exposed to at their age, by 12 and 15 years old, because they had, the way they got around most of the time was jumping trains, to be able to tell stories of kids falling off the train and getting their legs cut off, people overdosing and dying, people being raped in front of them, having to sell their bodies to get a fix or to get food. And I keep asking myself the same question over and over, and I say, God, what have we become? Who are we? How did we become so numb as a society to literally look past all this and say, oh, it's just a bunch of homeless people? How do we become so numb as a society? Like, oh, I just heard my neighbor down the street abused her kid. Like, it's no big deal. The mother that testified the other day in Houston, or maybe it was Dallas, one of the two, angry at her husband because he made her look bad, because the two infants that they had not only had been beaten to death, 3 and 5, but they were starved before that. And it was like, you made me look bad, she says. What type of sickness are we dealing with here? And at the core of this, it falls back to the one place over and over and over. It's a testimony to the pulpit in this nation that is completely broken and given in. It's not a pulpit that's speaking into the world. It's not a pulpit that's walking into the communities. It's not a pulpit that's engaging people on the street. It's a pulpit that's locking itself within the dead stone walls to say, world, stay away from me. Satan, stay away from me. We want to be safe in our pews. That's not of God. That is not of God. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know where God calls you to be. But I will tell you this. We as a community, Bard's Nation, we have to do better. We have to do better individually. We have to do better collectively. And I don't have a plan before me to say, this person needs to do that and that person needs to do this, because we should be empowered enough to start collectively organizing together on some of this. It's not going to be one directive action. It's going to be lots of spontaneous actions, because it's going to take that to defeat this beast. This beast looks for the point of the spear to crush it and collapse it. But the way you beat it is asymmetric way. You spread out. You organize. You do local actions. You get informed. And you start making the engagements that matter. But we've got to get to the children. We have to get to the children. We can't be that person that walks in before God and gives our testimony after this life, and he says, what did you do for the kids? It's like, well, I prayed for him. I prayed. Yes, prayers are important, but it has to be so much more, because these monsters are out there. When they say things that go bump in the night, these are things that make things scream in the night. These are things that take pleasure in torturing in the night. And this evil doesn't belong here. This evil doesn't have a place here. And apparently it's beyond the control of our federal government or our law enforcement, even though we can track, literally, we can track a single terrorist on the globe of over 7.5 billion people. We can find them hiding in a small village mountainside in Afghanistan or Pakistan in some hovel that has no cell phone coverage, has nothing, but we can find them enough to fly a drone at 20,000 feet and drop a Reaper missile down on top of them and blow them to kingdom come. But we somehow don't have a way of tracking what happens to 400,000 children that come across our border. We somehow don't have a way of tracking 750,000 children that go missing each year. We somehow don't have a way of tracking 7 million children globally that the Vatican has openly admitted that they traffic. But we can find that terrorist, and we can get excited about somebody who's wearing a turban, and we can say, oh my goodness, they deserved it. But when it comes to the pedophile, whoops, I think that falls under the LGBTQ protected class. There is only one terrorist in this world that we need to focus on, only one, and that's a pedophile. One who finds pleasure in destroying, raping, causing harm to the little ones. That is the only one we need to focus on right now. Forget the idea of the Zionist order. Forget the idea of the Khazarian mafia. Forget the idea of the Black Pope. Forget the idea of the Han Dynasty. Forget the idea of the organized crime of criminal cartels that are moving kids, because it all has one common theme. Remove the pedophile. Remove them. They have no place. And that pedophile is the tip that breaks it all apart. Because if you don't have a demand, you don't have a product to sell. But these kids keep being brought across because somebody needs them. Somebody wants them. Somebody desires them. And it's not for love. But it's a problem. And as a collective whole, a society, we owe it to them to stand up now and do the right thing. We are in difficult times. And the hard part of difficult times is you have to look at difficult truths. And that means we also have to look deep within ourselves. Be truthful to yourself. Be accountable before God. Seek repentance for the errors that we make. Stand up and be bold in this hour. And this boldness has to be one of truth. This boldness has to be one of never backing down from the truth. This boldness has to be one that seeks to put a laser on every single pedophile and groomer. Every school board member that supports pornography in schools, they're groomers at the very least. Every teacher that teaches this garbage is a groomer at the very least. And if you can't remove them from office, get your kids away from them. If some parent doesn't have the time to be able to afford to bring a child home, help them out. Build community cells to homeschool. Break the back of this cabal. Open our eyes to what's going on. Be aware. Engage. Hold politicians in our communities accountable. Our counties, our sheriffs. Back them up. Inform them. Make it so overwhelming they can't walk away from it. And if they refuse to, remove them and hold them accountable for their failure in office. It's the way through. And in the process of all of this, every single day, every single chance we get, pray into this and ask for the guidance of our Father. Pray into this and pray with a love for those children. Let those children feel the love that we can share upon them through prayer to know that we know you're there. We know we're hearing your screams and we're coming for you. But above all, don't be passive. Don't be blind. Don't be hesitant. And don't be fearful. These people think that they own us. These people think they control us. These people think they can do whatever they want to us. That has to stop now. And when the earth shakes waiting for the awakening of the sons of God, this is part of it. Awakening of the sons, and I would add daughters of God, is now to stand up and say, this will happen no more. In the name of Jesus, we declare and we put an end to it and we now move forward. And we remove this scourge from our lives and we free the kids. Because without this, there will be no moral shift. You want to wake up a country? You want to wake up a people? You need to shove their face into the disasters that we've allowed as a collective whole to occur to these children. That's part of waking up. That's part of a spiritual shock to the system that will require so much to us. That it requires people literally to fall on their knees in tears and start begging to God for forgiveness. And that's where they need to be. And if it takes a shock like this to do it, then it's time. But we can't sit by and let this continue anymore. Flemingsburg, Bardsfest, and the Bards Nation Center, so to speak, at Mandolin Farms. We're launching the brick purchase on Friday. We're going to talk a lot about this because this is a center to bring people to prepare, equip them for the work in the ministry, to prepare the saints for the work in the ministry. And that takes many forms. It takes deliverance. It takes inner healing. It takes apostolic, prophetic. It takes the courage to ask God to raise the dead. It takes the tools of ministry. It also takes the understanding of the problems. It takes the approach to approach children. It takes the approach to be able to be self-sustained. All of these things are coming together now in the vision that we have there to bring together a community, to prepare them, to equip them, and to send them back out to go after the key problem, which is to rescue the children and to raise up the love of God in this nation. So if people wonder where my heart is, and if people wonder the direction we're going, there it is. Because at the end of it, at the core of it, is what God gave me a year ago, the words Operation Vineyard, and the three words, rescue, heal, restore. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, we just come to you today. We're just humbled in our knees, and we're just going to begin today with all of us opening our hearts to say, Father, show us where we have sinned and gone wrong with the children. Show us where we have gone wrong. And wherever we have, Father, we just ask for forgiveness, and we seek repentance for those actions, for anywhere we have gone. We're not calling out anybody in particular. This is not a condemnation or a judgment. We're just asking, Father, that we stand before the throne. We kneel before the throne, and we're saying, Father, show us our heart as you will see our heart. Show us that judgment that you will place upon us so that now we can say to you, Father, I see it. I own it. I bring it before the throne, and I repent for it. And Father, now open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to see this world as you want us to see this world with the discernment, the love, the passion, the intensity, even the wrath. But when it comes to the children, how do you see the little ones, Father? How do you see us in relationship to that? And with this, Father, give us the fire and the tools and the understanding of where you want each and every one of us to walk in step. Show us where you want us to be. It's time to bring it all, Father. It is time to pour it down upon us. It is the hour and the time now for us to literally lean into this and to say, I am here. Send me. I am here. I am ready. Send me, Father. And above all, Father, as we kneel now before you, we raise our arms and we say, we submit to you. All that you want us to be, let it be. All that is of the dross, burn away. All that is not of you, burn away. All of the silver, let it be refined. And we humbly sit before you and humble ourselves, and we say, yes, Father, we submit to you in all things. We declare these things, Father, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. All of this is overcomable through the Lord. All things are possible through God. All things are overcomable that we face, even though when the mountains seem impossible to climb. But we have to seek it. We have to ask for it. We have to lean into it, and we have to run with it. And whatever burdens we carry in our heart, we have to own, and we have to rid them, because the doubt, the shame, the fear, all of those were released with the sacrifice on the cross. So absorb that. Take it to the cross. Take it to the foot of Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. Release it and get back in this fight. And be fierce. Be the David that stands before Goliath. Be Joshua that enters into Jericho. Be Gideon that blows the horn. Be Moses that held up his arms, even when he needed two to continue to have them lifted. Build your counsel around you. Through wise counsel we wage war. Get that in your place. Seek the guidance of God. Pray to him. Ask for his voice. Look for where he wants you to go, and stay laser focused on this problem of rescuing the kids. And through this, we will have victory. A victory of unprecedented nature. A victory that will shake a nation and will wake it up. A victory that will truly leave a nation stunned, and at the same time a nation that will become healed. And most of all, the future of our nation will be preserved. Father God, we just pray one last prayer. Let every child know that they are heard, and lead every one of us to rescue every child that needs rescued. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bat at evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Oh.